Preach one verse this morning. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 18. The Bible says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." This is actually a continuation of the message that we talked about last week, but I left this one verse out because of time. And I wanted to spend some time today on the idea of access. What do you think of when you think of the word access? Do you think of maybe a security clearance, a special badge, or something that allows you to access a building or a particular location, or maybe inside a building of a building or whatever? Perhaps you think of special privileges. This person has access to whatever, fill in the blank. Perhaps it's benefits, or maybe some people think of power. This person has access to the power that may be, and that could be a person or whatever. All these things are true, and more are true when you think of the concept of access. My first duty station in the United States Marine Corps was not too far from you guys, actually. I was at Naval Weapons Station, Yorktown, Virginia, and it was a nuclear weapons base. We carried all kinds of stuff there. We carried traditional ammunition, if you will, there, but we also had nuclear weapons. Well, obviously, to get inside that secure area took quite a bit. There was an extensive background check that went into that, and so we could do so much for so long, and then another security clearance cleared, and then we could get inside the access area, and another one cleared. Eventually, I was able to sit in the computer room that did all kinds of sonar and cameras and that kind of stuff. And the point was, they figured someone who had access to a nuclear weapon could be dangerous, with good reason, right? And they wanted to make sure that that person was trustworthy before they gave them access to that, because someone in the room that I was in could have began to cut off switches and allowed other people to come in to access those particular nuclear weapons. Among many other things that God gave us, rescued us from at salvation, this is one of the precious things. He gave us access to the Father. From a Jewish standpoint, this would have been unheard of. Matter of fact, only the high priest, and only once a year, after going through quite the ritual, if you will, to even do it, could he access the Holy of Holies, and only for a brief time, and then he was back out, and it was another year before he would have that access again. It was really, would be blasphemous to a Jew to think that someone common could walk into the presence of God the Father. That was unheard of. But even from a Gentile standpoint, though it would have been totally different, the fact is the Gentiles went through things to have access to their gods as well. Unfortunately, those things were debauched. They were filthy and immoral. But they had to go through their own rituals, if you will, in order for them to access their gods. But even then, they weren't sure they would listen to them. And so to have access to God the Father, at any time, any moment, we have access. What a privilege this is. Any time, any place, any circumstances. Again, this benefit, this access is through Jesus Christ. We have this because we are in Christ. And as we've looked through the book of Ephesians here, we've seen that over and over again. In Christ, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. It brings with it amazing benefits. So I want us to see this morning that we must recognize that we have access to God only through our relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll talk about this a little bit more, but it's important for us to understand that it is impossible for you to earn this access. You say, well, but wait a minute. What if I had $1 billion? Can't get it. Can't get the access through that. What if I owned trillions upon trillions of dollars? Could I buy access? You cannot buy access no matter what amount of money you have. Well, what if I were the best person living on earth? You can't have access. There is only one way to have access, and that's through Jesus Christ and his precious blood on Calvary. I want us to look at a couple of things this morning as we look at this. Number one, let's look at the persons of access. Notice what he says in verse 18. For through him we both have access. All right, well, what's Paul referring to? Jew and Gentile. But remember, as he's walked through this passage, he's shown for us the difference between Jew and Gentile and how God has made us one in him and how he's broken down that middle wall of partition. And it was critically important, not just for a Jew to have access to God the Father, but a Gentile could have access to God the Father. We both have that access. Literally, everyone that accepts the free gift of salvation has access. Like, well, Pastor, I don't think I could ever get that access. You can at the cross. You can come to the cross of Jesus Christ, and there is no sin he will not forgive, except for the fact that you reject him. Other than that, you can come. If you're saved this morning, you have this access. Can I ask you, this week, did you take advantage of that access? Did you take advantage of what God has given us every day, all the time? The persons of access. But number two, let's look at the payment for access. Notice what he says here, for through him. For through him. Again, it is because of the relationship with Jesus Christ. It's because of that relationship by the Spirit of God, he says. Literally, we could say it this way. Through Jesus, by the Spirit, to the Father. That's how we have access. Paul, again, mentions the Trinity. If you remember, he's done that a number of times. Those sections, to the praise of the glory of his grace, each one delineated a part of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Because of Christ's work, God is approachable. Without Christ's work, sinful humans could not approach God. Romans chapter 5, verse 1 says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Can I ask you this morning, has there been a time in your life when you've repented of your sins and trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior? There are enormous benefits that come with that, but one of those is the wonderful privilege of walking into his throne room at any time and talking to him. Oh, what a privilege. A number of years ago, I had the joy, I particularly think it's a joy, some of you may groan, of serving on the grand jury here in Cleveland County. I love learning about that kind of stuff. I'd never been on the grand jury. And so I was intrigued by it. Now, the problem with the grand jury is you meet once a month for 12 months. So you don't have just one jury sentence. You're there for a day, usually a day, for the next 12 months. But I loved it. The second 6 months, I was grand jury foreman, and which was really fun. I learned a lot about the criminal justice system and all those kind of things. But one of the really cool parts about it was, because of my position as grand jury foreman, I could walk into a courtroom, and no matter what they were doing, no matter how important it was, they instantly stopped business and recognized me. Well, that was pretty cool, I thought. You just walk in a classroom, you know, and they're like, oh, the grand jury foreman's here. Yes, sir, can we? And I had to go up there and say before the judge, we have this many true bills of indictment, da-da-da-da, and all this kind of stuff. They accepted the report, and then I would go into the back crevices, you know, where they take prisoners and stuff like that, but, you know, and I had to go back there and sign official documents. I just found it intriguing, okay? But that access was because of the relationship that I had currently. I was grand jury foreman. I remember on one particular occasion, we had a person that was on the jury not showing up. Well, just in case you know, that's actually illegal. You can't do that. You have to actually show up. And I'm responsible for giving account. And so I came and I said, well, we had 17 of the 18. And he said, do you have an excused absence? And I said, no, sir. And I said, actually, this is the second time this jury person has missed. And he said, okay, that'd be a problem. I said, yes, sir. And he, from the, while I'm standing there, he said, I want you to issue a subpoena for him immediately. And he said, when can you be back in court? And I said, well, whatever's convenient for you. He said, nope, we're at your pleasure. When can you be back in court? I said, I could be here tomorrow at 10. He said, have that gentleman here at 10 tomorrow. We were in a courtroom by ourselves with that guy and me and a judge and then a bailiff. And that, boy, he chewed that guy out. I'm talking, I was like, whew, it was scathing. And then the guy was almost late. He walked in the next time like three seconds before the grand jury. So I'm like, you're living on borrowed time here, pal, because the judge had told him, I will throw you in jail. And I'm like, whoa. I was like, I hope the guy, I don't know that I didn't institute all this. I just reported the facts, right? But it was really intriguing to me, the access that comes. See, our access to the Father, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, is because of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Again, Paul has emphasized this Trinity over and over. He'll emphasize it again in chapter 4, but we'll get to that eventually. Eventually. Thanks, Brother Kevin, for laughing at that. I'm only one verse at a time. It'll take me a while. Nevertheless, how are you trying to approach God? Are you trying to work up that approach? Do you approach him based upon the merits of Jesus Christ? Or are you trying to approach him based on the merits that you have done? But I also see, number three, the privilege of access. The privilege of access. And this is where I want to spend a little bit of time. And we'll go to other sections of Scripture here this morning. The word access simply means approach. One person defined it as that relationship with God whereby we are acceptable to him and have assurance that he is favorably disposed toward us. In other words, we not only have permission to be there, but he actually wants us there. That's pretty incredible. It's not like we walk into the throne room of grace. It's not like we have access by the blood of Jesus Christ and he goes, great, there they are again. That's not how he approaches it. It's not like, what is this, the 30th time you've come in here today? Any moms get frustrated with kids coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming and coming? Aren't you glad God's not that way? Though the truth is, some of us, probably most of us, all of us, can be that aggravating something, can't we? I mean, we just keep, matter of fact, sometimes we come to God with the same thing, but he's glad we're there. He's favorable toward us. And there's a couple of things that Scripture tells us. But this, by the way, this word, it comes from a word that means to bring or to open a way, to render acceptable to God. This is acceptable to him. What a privilege that is. Well, the Bible tells us there's a couple of things. Number one, he tells us that there is bold access. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, according to the eternal purpose, which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Now, it's interesting. This word boldness here means a freedom in speaking or openness or frankness. That's what the word bold means. In other words, God wants us to come into his presence. We have the privilege, if you will, the right, because of the blood of Jesus, to come into his presence. And when we come, we can be frank with him. We can be open with him. If you ever in a meeting in a company or whatever, had said yourself or heard someone say something like this, may I speak freely? What do you mean by that? Can I speak without there being repercussions, right? Because you're the boss and, you know, I want to tell you that's a really dumb idea, but can I do that without getting in trouble, right? Sometimes that's what we're thinking. Can I speak freely? That's the idea. It's to speak exactly what we'd like to say without repercussions. Now, please listen. I'm not saying that we be disrespectful to God, but I am saying that we can come to him and just be frank with him. We can come to him and say, God, I am royally confused. God, I don't know what you're doing here. I can't see the end of this. I don't know why you're doing that. Or God, I'm really disappointed right now. I wanted X to happen and it didn't happen, and I'm just disappointed. God, I really don't feel like talking to you today. You're like, oh, wow. Can I give you a little hint? He already knows that anyway. And by the way, it's not good that we feel that way, but sometimes you just don't feel like talking. And man, sometimes I sit down to pray, or I'm driving or whatever, and I'm like, God, I'm just struggling to pray. Like, my mind's running 40 miles an hour, all kinds of places, and I keep praying about things that make no sense. They don't even make sense to me. They certainly don't make sense to you. You know, and I can't string my sentences together, and Lord, I'm really sorry, but I'm really distracted today. Boldness means I come there and I'm just frank with God. God, today I'm really hurting. God, today I don't understand this. God, today I was disappointed in this situation. God, the truth is today I'm disappointed in me. I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I had that attitude. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Boldly. Again, as I said this morning a number of times, I already know the answer to this. But how many of us in this room, if we're just frankly honest, have disagreed with some things that God's doing in our lives? Or been royally confused? Or been like, God, why are you doing it that way? Well, God, what about the timing here? What are we doing? God says we can come. Again, not disrespectfully, but just honestly. And I want you to think about this, okay? If your child comes to you, and they don't have a disrespectful spirit, but they just say to you, Dad, Mom, I am really confused. So yesterday, you told me you wanted the trash taken out between English and science. And today, you told me you wanted it taken out after lunch. And I'm just confused. What do you want done? Nobody says, well, that's a dumb question. Read my mind and figure out what's going on. No. We're like, I'm really sorry. I didn't realize I told you two different things. And if you're a good parent, that's what you do, right? You don't want to confuse them in the process. And you're okay with them coming. I've had kids, some of my kids before, say to me, okay, Daddy, I think I disagree with you. Horrid, right? Okay, this is what I'd say to him. Hey, why do you disagree? Well, I think such and such. I remember one discussion I had, and one of my girls were like, well, I think da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, do you have Bible for that? No. And then they said, I probably need Bible for it, don't I? I'm like, be a good idea. Let's get the Bible and let's come back and talk to each other about this. By the way, I want them to have that kind of access to me where we can talk about those kinds of things. That's what God wants from us. Can I just be real frank with you? Okay. God really doesn't need all our fiery mess. He's not impressed with all the extra stuff we add in there just to try to impress him. He's not impressed with that. He just wants us to come talk to him, just like he's there for us. I've told this story before, and I got to hurry here, but one of the most incredible things that impacted me in my high school years was we had a teacher that walked with God. It was obvious in all kinds of ways that this person walked with God, but I'll never forget the day we were opening class, and I don't even remember what class it was. But he's opening the classroom in a word of prayer. Someone knocks at the door. And he was like, excuse me, Lord, someone's at the door and I need to get that. He walks over to the door, answers it, figures out, comes back and says, God, that was just Joe and he wanted to know what I was doing for such and such. Okay. And he goes back to talk to him. And I thought, as a high school boy, I thought, he's talking to God as if he's a real person right here in this room. That's been years ago, and I remember it, right? It's been a really long time ago, and I remember that because he had the kind of access, the boldness just to talk to God. Do you speak freely to God? Do you share your whole heart with him? Not only do we have bold access, but we have confident access. Notice what he says again in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11 and 12. According to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. This word confidence simply means a trust, a reliance. In other words, our faith is rooted in him, in who he is, and what he does. And it's rootedly solid in that. And we just rest in it. It's not shaky. It's firmly foundation. It's a firm foundation. And we place our confidence in him. Recently, at our home, my Bradford pear trees have gotten out of control. They're growing like crazy. They're beautiful. I love the fact they shade the front of my house. But they're way out of control. I don't know how tall they are. I'm guessing they're 40 foot, maybe higher in some places. They're really up there. And last summer, every storm came, I prayed they wouldn't bust, you know, because they're really soft wood, and I trimmed them some. And so this year, I should have called the tree trimming guy last year, okay, but I didn't. And this year, I thought, you know, I have me a long-handled saw, and I think I can do some of this. Now, don't all the ladies look at Lisa? She was very careful about making appeals, and then she just went inside. Right, which is a good place for her to be at that time. And so I climbed up on this ladder. It's an 11-foot ladder, so I'm close to the top of the stairs, and my extension saw, I don't know, 9 foot, I don't know, 8 foot, I don't remember how long it is, actually. I'm 5'7", and it stands above me, extended out, okay? And so a couple of things happen, all right? I cut a couple of limbs, and a couple of things happen. One, the limbs don't fall like you want them to, which is not good. And number two, I could get the saw to the limb, but when it cut through the limb, the saw wanted to go with you, you know, like, boom, over, right? And some of the ladies are about to have a heart attack. I'm here. I got all my fingers. I'm good, you know. But this, here's my point. After a couple of limbs, I thought, this is pretty dumb. Like, it's just dumb. I've heard a lot of guys, like, breaking their backs, dying, and stuff like that on a ladder with a saw. My wife's looking at me like, yeah, I tried to tell you that. I got a saw. So, a week from Tuesday, a guy's coming to trim my trees, okay? I won't tell you what it's going to cost me. It's more money than I want to pay, but it's probably worth more than my life. I think, you know, right? Like, or a broken leg or something like that, right? So here's my point, all right? On that ladder, and it's a pretty good size ladder, but on that ladder with the saw up in the air, it's shaky, right? I did not have a lot of confidence in that. But when I come to God, my confidence is rock solid. Matter of fact, Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4 says, he is the rock. He is the rock. I can have confidence in him. Do you approach God with a trust, with a confidence? Number three, we have helpful access. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. If you look at the context of that whole chapter, and we won't take time to do that this morning, but the context says that since we can hide nothing from him, verse 13, of Hebrews 4, and that he knows what we're going through, the feelings of our infirmities, verse 15, because of all this, come boldly. We come boldly to him because he knows exactly what we're going through. That's a wonderful thing. Have you found that when you're going through something difficult, that when someone else is going through the exact same thing, you just find a camaraderie with them naturally? Yeah, it's interesting to me. If I'm wearing a Marine Corps hat or whatever, I can walk into a store and other Marines, we make immediate eye contact. There's a recognition there, right? Like, hey, you too, right? And almost always we're talking to each other. What years did you serve and so forth? The guys that served at my time are looking older and older. I'm like, I expected that guy to serve in Vietnam, and he served, you know, 84 to 88. That was just 2 years off from when I served, you know, or whatever, those kind of things. But there's a camaraderie there. You ever notice you get a brand new vehicle, and you hadn't noticed any of them on the road, and then you get the vehicle, and they're all over the place? Like, it's all of a sudden, there's something happens there, all right? that helpful access. Jesus knows exactly what we're going to. And I don't want you to notice this now. He says, come to the throne of grace. He doesn't say come to a throne of power, though it is. He doesn't say come to a throne room of intimidation, though it could be. It's a throne of grace. Grace. Unlimited. Whatever we need, he comes there. We have mercy and grace there. We find help there. Literally, the Greek language could say this. We find a helper there. When we come to the throne room of grace, we find someone who's willing to be a helper to us. Whatever's happening in our lives, we can come to the Father, access, and speak freely before him, and he knows and offers grace, mercy, and help. Isn't that wonderful? And it's all because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. How would you respond if one of your children or grandchildren came running to you and asked for help? I mean, a legitimate help. Something's happened. They got that terror in their voice. And they come running to you and either saying, Daddy or Grandpa or Papa, whatever it might be, what are you going to do? Whoa, what are you doing whining like a whiny pants here? Snake's biting you, it's okay, you get over it. Hey, that's not how you're going to approach it, right? You want to find out, what can I do to help them? I remember, again, years ago, I won't tell what two girls it was in our home, but they screamed. I literally expected five or six guys out there trying to rip them in half. I mean, that was the kind of scream it was. When I get out of the house, I mean, both Lisa and I tear out of the house. I mean, we almost tear the door off to get out because I knew something was wrong. There is a little bitty dog, and he's barking at them. He couldn't have bit their leg because his mouth couldn't open wide enough. I mean, it was a little bitty dog, and I look at them, and they're like, we were scared of the dog. You know, it's like, I'm like, what is he going to do to you? I don't know. But, you know, it's like sometimes we as parents can be a little short in those situations. Like, don't scare me that way again, right? Don't you love it that when we just run to God, even sometimes with our irrational fears and difficulties and whatever, we find a mercy, we find a grace, we find a helper. Man, what a privilege that is. When you're in need, do you run to him? Do you trust that he will give you what you need? Do you have that confidence in him? Now I want us to see, lastly, the responsibility because of access. I want you to notice what the writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 22. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So he's describing that entering into that holy of holies. By a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, he's like, in other words, we have this incredible access. You can walk into the Holy of Holies anytime you want to. Notice what he says here. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, because of this access, we are to keep ourselves pure. Because we have access to him doesn't mean that we flippantly approach this or that we carry all our garbage unless we're going there for confession. Let us work at being a true heart, full of assurance, having our conscience clean, when we enter into that we're washed. In other words, I want to have a presence about me all the time that my life is right with God so that when I walk into that room, that access room, everything's right with him. Now, can I walk in there for that forgiveness? Absolutely. He loves to forgive. And if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do we access this access? Do we actually use it? Do we talk to God? Do we take advantage of drawing near to God? Are we afraid of what he will see or what he will say to us in the process of this access. Maybe it is that we don't want to run to him and share our real heart's burden because we know what he's going to say back to us. So maybe we don't want to be honest with him because we already know what the real answer is. But nevertheless, he wants us to come to him. So in this text of Scripture, last week's message and this week, we see the oneness with Jews and Gentiles in four particular ways. We're made both one, verse 14 tells us. We're no longer separate. We're no longer Jew and Gentile. We're both one. Verse 15 says he makes one new man. Jew and Gentile, we're new together. Number three, he's reconciled one body together. We no longer worship separately, but we are together. And number four, both have access by the Spirit of God into that throne room. What does this access to God look like to you? When's the last time you've taken advantage of it? What is on your heart this morning that you wish you could tell him? What's burdening you that you wish you could just unload? He wants you to. He wants you to come. He wants you to use that boldness. He wants you to just have the frank talk with him. God, this is what I'm feeling. I don't understand this. As the first child to a sitting president in nearly 80 years, John F. Kennedy Jr. enjoyed a national spotlight throughout his life. He was in utero during his dad's campaign and grew up in the White House. The photo of John Jr. peering out from the panel, which he called the secret door, under the desk in the Oval Office. Matter of fact, John Jr. referred to it as his house, my house. As his father reviews the papers, was an instant icon, both in its timing and its composition. If you've never seen the picture, you need to go look at it, okay? John Jr. is sitting down and he pushes open the door in the front of the Oval Office desk, and he's sitting there and a photographer is taking that picture. What I did not know was the background to that picture. By the way, there's a number of pictures around him. There's some with him under his dad's feet, basically, as his dad's reviewing papers, and it's like, man, if he only knew what was going on, right, and some of the events that were taking place in the Oval Office. But this photo was taken by Alan Stanley Trittick. He was a former Look magazine photographer who took many intimate pictures of President Kennedy and his children. Mrs. Kennedy was against her children being photographed and used for political purposes. And the above photo, I was reading this article and it was showing the photo, was taken when Jacqueline Kennedy was out of the country. JFK invited the photographer over to the White House in October 1963. By this time, JFK had recently lost a child to a premature birth and needed all the family affection available. An advanced copy of Look magazine with the photos in it traveled with the Kennedys to Dallas, Texas. And the magazine was released several days after the assassination. Why did John Jr. have that access? Why could he play underneath arguably one of the most powerful desks in the nation? Because of a relationship with a father. And at that point, he was not primarily the president of the United States. He was daddy. Because of our relationship with Jesus Christ. Yes, he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Yes, he's sovereign over the entire world. But he's an Abba Father that we can come and talk to. What a privilege access is. Father, thank you for this precious truth from Scripture. Access. Lord, even now as I'm talking, I'm talking to you, God, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. How privileged that is. How eye-opening it must have been to these Gentile believers after going through all their rituals to get access to their gods, or to a Jewish believer who didn't have access no matter what he did, unless he was the high priest. And yet we get to walk into you because of the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. That blood paves the way for us to come. Thank you. May we continuously access you. May we bear our hearts. May we tell you our joys and our sorrows. May you tell us, may we tell you our struggles. May you run to you for help and grace and mercy in time of need. Thank you for being that kind of daddy, that kind of father. May our people this morning apply this truth to their lives, not just this morning, but ongoing as we have access to the Father. In your precious Son's name we pray these things. Head bowed and eyes closed, can I ask you this morning, have you taken advantage of the access? When's the last time you walked into the throne room, spent some time? Do you go in there with confidence? Do you go in there with a boldness? Do you try to pretend when you're there when there's really no pretending? Or do you just come and say, God, I just want to talk to you today. I just want to be honest with you today. This is what I'm feeling. This is what's going on in my life. This is what I'm hurting over. This is what I'm excited about. How do you access your Abba Father? He wants you to do that every single day. And friend, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you, the blood of Jesus Christ can be applied to your life immediately, and then you can have that access. You can go to Him anytime, day or night. You can wake up in the middle of the night and call out to Him. You can be driving down the road and you can call out to Him. You can be mowing the grass and you can call out to Him. You can be working your job, you can call out to Him. I'm so grateful for that. As they begin to quietly play, would you stand with heads bowed and eyes closed? Pastor Adams to my right, Brother Bob Christensen's to my left. If you just need some help or you just want to come and pray, just say, God, I've not taken advantage of that access. I've not come boldly to the throne of grace. I've not been confident. I've not come with an idea of to help or to find grace or mercy. Would you do that this morning as they play? Both Jew and Gentile has access to the Father through the Spirit by Jesus Christ and His blood. We'll have them play one more verse through. Can you look this way? Isn't that a precious truth? And we can just go before God. What a wonderful thing that is for us. And I hope this week you'll take advantage of that access. I want to remind you, next